That's all bacon.
He said, you know, he reminded me of, he said he ain't gonna edit that out. Remember, I was shooting that movie with the little 6-year-old girl Proctor, and we was in Mechanicville, and I had the hot mic hooked up to me, and some internet troll from me doing my show, like, get on my live. You know, if, when I was doing that, he seen me in Mechanicville and was like, yo, you remember what you were saying to me or whatever? I was like, he was a little short dude, too. I'm like, dude, do you know how many guns out here? Like, how many people watching my back right now? But I'm, like, way up the street, and everybody kind of down the street. So if he wanted to get me, all I had to do was just walk up, swing, or either shoot. I didn't even see him coming. So I turn around, look at this little 6-year-old girl, and was like, hey, baby, go down here to where your mama at. Because I ain't want to curse in front of the little girl. Soon as that little girl walked, I was like, boy, you know I will. And I was like, if you hit him, Fable, they ain't gonna never call you back for another movie. Because even though you might win the fight, everybody right here gonna remember how aggressive you was. So, you know, I didn't hit him and stuff. So. All
right.
Yeah, the cameraman ran down there. And
what,
the girl.
And what was this you were working on?
This was, I was working on the movie B. I had one best duo in the film with the little 6-year-old girl, Proctor.
Right.
She's real talented. She was checking me because I didn't know my lines. Imagine a 6-year-old knowing your lines and hers, and for a whole movie, just, you couldn't remember one line. And I had like 7 projects going on, crystals, just like all kind of stuff, and really didn't take it serious. I felt like, you know, my natural talent when I got there. You know, I ain't feel like I had that many parts, but when I got there, I was the whole movie. And I was like, oh, these was all the parts, you know, main parts. Like, I'm the main character.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm thinking that they was going to put a whole bunch of people around me and make it look good because, you know, this kind of like my acting debut. But, I did pretty well with her coaching.
With the girls coaching.
I could never have done it without her. She knew all my lines.
So we'll start with New Face here, who introduced us. And then when I told people, I said, I have this interview coming up.
Yeah.
What do you think the one word a lot of these people said when I said, I'm talking to Fable? What do you think that, what word do you think they said?
You geeked up.
Legend.
Yeah. Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. I still got a lot of work to do.
How does that make you feel, though, that people are like, Atlanta legend, Atlanta legend. Oh, dude, that dude's legend.
Wow. It feels great, you know. But, hey, I got to live up to it. I still got a lot of work to do. I'm still here. You know, I look at legends as somebody who's gone and, you know, so I'm still here.
So where did you go to high school? Where did you grow up?
I went to like 3 high schools and job court. Like, you know, I went to, I started out in Perry Homes or whatever. I went to like the same school till I was like in the 7th grade till I think it was Bard Elementary. And I got kicked out in the 7th grade, like this the last year of school or something like that. And when I was going to school, it was just elementary school and high school. So I think my last high school, my last 7th grade year,
right.
The next year, all the high schools in Atlanta converted, a lot of the high schools converted either into alternative schools or even middle schools. So I was one of the middle school kids. So all the kids behind me went to middle school, like 8, 7, and 6, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And I ended up going to Washington High School. And so I was in like the 8th grade over there, never went to school. Whatever. And my mom, I think I missed like 47 days. And my mom was like, nah, you got to come from over there. And because I was catching the bus for the first time. I'm from the hood, bro, where my hood was like a mile in both directions was just like blank.
Right.
Like, there's no commerce, no stores, no anything. Like, it's just like you got to go at least a mile both ways, and it's kind of set down in a hole.
Right.
We had our own store, our own laundromat, our own liquor store, and, you know, you didn't have to go nowhere. And so when I got out of there, it was like, hey, what's this? Wow, you know, every day, like, you know, like a kid in the candy store. But, you know, I settled down when I came back. So I went to Henry Grady. I went to Archer High, whatever, and I went to Washington High School, and then I ended up in Brunswick Job Corps, where I ended up getting an auto body mechanic trade. And so
you thought that was going to be your future?
Yeah, I thought that was it. Like, I felt like I was going to be an auto body mechanic or welder, because I took some welding and stuff. And I got out Job Corps, you know, with my mind set on being an auto body mechanic, but I just couldn't get a job. anywhere or whatever, you know, because I got were crazy past.
But were you trying to like sing around the house or anything?
No, when I got out of prison, I went to prison straight out of high school. You see what I'm saying? So as soon as I got out of high school, I went to prison for 2 years. So you know, I'm still this kid, you know, in prison. So when I get out of prison, I they had tore down my hood or whatever. So it's like 6 buildings from a 3,000 tenant, you know, situation. It's like 6 buildings and there's maybe 40 people out there. So it was like no opportunity for me. So I'm like, yo, I got to get out of here. And so I started walking that mile, you know, from that neighborhood up to the next, you know, intersection, which is like a mile away, Hollywood Court and Hollywood Road and all of that. And that's where the pool palace was.
Right.
That was the first pool palace. Because there was 2 pool palaces where everything went down. And so the first one, you know, I didn't have any songs, anything. And I didn't have anything recorded. And I just go grab the microphone, like, every Wednesday, Friday.
Whatever. And how old were you?
I was maybe 20, 21.
But had you had any thoughts of this? Like, what was the music in your house growing up?
Oh, everything. My mama listened to Freddie Jackson. She listened to The Temptations. Treat her like a lady. Like, you know, all of that. My granddaddy, he had the Isley Brothers Greatest Hits. And he would play that to death. Like, I mean, the tape was tore up. We had to tape it back together for him and stuff with some tape. And they played again, like, you know. And so, you know, I came up off of that type of music. All the oldies but goodies, you know.
Right.
I grew up in the
I mean, because you can sing.
Yeah. I'm always singing. Like, people think I'm a rapper. But
No. Like, and not... Like, not, I don't rap.
Every song I'm singing.
Not every rapper is a singer.
Yeah.
So...
Not every singer is a rapper.
Right. Not every rhombus is a square, but every square is a rhombus.
Fat. So
that's what I'm saying. So when you grew up in the house, did you think like, well, I might have to use my hands, but maybe I have a career in music? You didn't even dream of that?
Never had music on my mind, ever, until I came home from prison and my brother had like all of these speakers all around his room with the wires going to different speakers and stuff. And he had like a cassette deck where he didn't know at the time, but he was stacking. He would record on this tape, and then he'll play this tape while he do the background vocals on another tape. So he didn't know then that he was, you know, stacking.
It wasn't a little 4-track machine?
Uh-uh. No, he was just doing tapes. Like, we'll burn. Man, you know how many people's tapes we recorded over, like, once we learned how to rap and sing and stuff on these people's tapes? Man, every tape. I couldn't be New Face because New Face would be mad at me if he knew I record over my mind playing tricks on me. I record over, you know, all of these different tapes that I love to death. But once I started hearing myself, it was like, find the old tapes. Like, in every older tape that wasn't a newer tape, which was probably...
So you just put the little piece of tape over it, that thing?
Well, when they broke. When they broke from playing them too much, yeah, we just taped them up and kept going.
No, I'm saying, when you wanted to record over them, you had to put that little tape over the top piece.
Yeah. Well, by that time, it was like, you know, by the 2000s, it was we had them... I guess the tapes was just able to record over.
Oh, okay.
Because you had these DJ Jelly and MC Assault tapes. They became the best tapes to record over.
Okay.
You know, you ain't want to record at the good part, though. You'll skip past all of the songs you like and then record right there. So now when you're playing the tape, when his music go off, yours will start coming on.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. But yeah, we recorded over everything, you know, and I had like 70 tapes of myself. You know, you'll come in there and pick it up and be like, oh, this Master P, No Limit. I think I recorded over Skullduggery one time, and me and my brother got to fight. Like, he was like, man, I'm sitting there listening to, man, I'm my song. And, you know, we got to fight. And I was like, bro, I buy another one.
So you showed up to the pool palace.
Yeah, I showed up to the pool palace, and it's me and my brother at first. We just go up there and grab the mic. And we used to do the Youngblood song that, this how we do it when we do it, shout out to you. And when that come on, doop, 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 doop. As soon as I hear that, I'm like, my fade bowl, bitch. And go from there. And I used to do the, what's that, Lil Jon and Two Short, what's it, that doom, boom, boom, bitch. Trick, bitch. That beat right there, bitch. Trick, boom, boom. When you knew that came on, everybody in the club knew we was finna get up there and rap. Because that was all track.
Right.
Yeah.
So when did something start to happen? Like, this might go from something fun to, like, this might be a thing for me.
Wow. So I went back to jail. And
why you got to keep getting arrested, man?
I was just one of those kids. whatever. And I got out probably around.
Am I allowed to ask what for?
Yeah. I mean, same stuff, robbery, whatever else, you know, all the stuff that you can get into. I think I went to prison for robbery, 5-2-2, something like that. Got out of there and ended back in a couple of situations that was a little bit more dire. Whatever, and I thought I wasn't gonna get out ever again, you know. And just by the grace of God, you know, I weaved them, and ended up getting out in like 2002.
Did you have good lawyers?
Yeah, good lawyers. And I got out in like 2002, and when I got out again, so I had already been in a situation back in '99 before I went back to jail, and it was me and Young Dro, and so we ended up with the same person, you know, walked out the hood on the same day. We freestyled against each other, and some guy was like, yo, y'all should make it, and y'all should go try this out in the studio. So we did. We left out of the hood the same day and go hook up with this guy named Raheem the Dream, which was, he was a big artist at the time, or whatever, in his time, and, you know, we believed in him at the time or whatever and thought he was going to take us to the next level. He gave it a good push, but we weren't ready at the time. We were studying, trying to kill people on every track. He kept saying, do some girl songs. And we was just like, every song we kill 4 people. And this is like in 99, you know, in the year 99, 2000. And it's crazy that I eventually, you know, went on to make Laffy Taffy, and my first hit song was a girl song. That was like, I had never did any girl songs. So Laffy Taffy was like one of the first
girl songs. Was a girl song to you a dance song or just any song that isn't killing people?
People look at us like dance groups or something like that, but before I made Laffy Taffy, if you go listen to the Type for Life Training Camp album, if you go listen to the West Side Geek music, any mixtape that I had on the street, I ain't have a girl song. Like, I was one of those cats with the nappy hair, with all the tattoos that you just didn't want to see at a certain time of day or night. And when I went,
but you're so jovial.
When I went to prison the last time, it changed my attitude, like, about, because I'm in a beating on the trash cans this time, because I had a, you know, I had a little experience at the music. So when I go back to jail, I haven't been to the pool palace, I done had all these talent shows. So, you know, I got out with a plan this time. Like, when I get out, you know, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna get it right. You feel what I'm saying? And when I got out that time, I was recording and, you know, making sure, spending money on my music, trying to make sure I get something done. And so I ended up, you know, back in the hood, because, you know, it was hard for us back then. 2002, 2003, the city hit a drought. Like, that mean ain't nothing on the street. You feel what I'm saying? And all the prices went up. And for the little guys, it choked us out. So I was like, I gotta do something else. I can't keep going to jail. And so I started going to the pool palace all the time, hooked up with Shotta Low, and then, you know, my career took another turn.
R.I.P. Shotta! But something had to happen. So when you guys got together, right, and you created D4L, is that right?
Well, I was coming off out of a group with a Type for Life Training Camp, which had drama with the Left Right Left and all of this stuff. And I had been back to prison. I'd been back on the block, and I ran into Shotta Low like that, just street stuff, just, you know, every day. And he said he was gonna build a studio. He went and built it. So when he built the studio, you as an artist, you feel like, man, he did everything he said he was gonna do. So we felt like we had to come through. And you got to think that at this time, I'm like a draft pick to that clique.
Right.
D4L was around 10 years before I came along. They was already making songs. They already had music. And I'm battling against them in talent shows. Like, Shotta Low had 30 artists to throw at you in the talent show. Like, it's all these groups. And so, you know, he, you know, asked me one day or whatever, you know, to come up there. Well, Mook B took me, you know, told me to go up there. And I ended up going up there, letting him know I knew his sister and all of that. Formed a relationship, you know, and he was like, man, you know, why don't you come over to the clique? And so I was like, it's all good, you know, and through time it happened. And he said, I'm gonna build a studio, because we was at the car wash and we just had like the little equipment at the car wash. He built the studio. We did one tape or whatever, which we had the Betcha Can't Do It Like Me on. And so everybody don't know the Betcha Can't Do It Like Me came out before Laffy Taffy. Nope. You see what I'm saying?
But it didn't reach.
It didn't reach national stardom, but you started to see us in all the videos, like when the Yin Yang Twins did Whisper.
Right.
When you see them doing the dance, like, that was all us. Like, it was because the hood was on, the city was on fire with the new dance.
Right.
And so for a whole year, we was out. And so everybody in the city knew who we were. If you came to Atlanta, you knew who we were. If you was an artist, you knew who we were, and you knew we were coming. And you knew we had this beef going on with Franchise. You feel what I'm saying? Because they was already out there with the white tee, and they was on the national level. But everybody, like, they stole these guys' dance who were coming. And everybody, like, who is these guys? And so when we made Laffy Taffy, you found out who we were.
So do you remember the first time you just heard ding, ding, ding?
Oh, yeah. Ding, ding. Yeah. I was, me and K-Rap had stayed out from the club one night, and we was just up like we always were. Well, I think he was with one of his partners or whatever, and you know, me and my little clique together, and I was like, man, go to the studio or whatever, I'll be up there or whatever. And when he went to the studio, he went in there, I gave him my key, and he went in the studio and he dropped two tracks or whatever, you know what I mean. He said he had the Laffy Taffy already in his head from one of his kids singing it or whatever, but he's, you know, when he got to the studio, he put it down. I guess he had did some rendition of it at home, but he came to the studio. When he went to the studio that night, that was what he worked on. And so he gave me two tracks that night. Well, that morning, I came at like 6 or 7 in the morning, he was leaving. And he was like, here you go, boom, gave me the CD. And it had I'm the Man on it, which was Shout It Low Hit, and it had My Laffy Taffy on there. And so those was the two tracks that he left, which turned out both tracks to be like smashes.
And did it just come to you?
Man, it was just another day in the studio. I want to give you some great story, but I came from the script club with some girl. We was just in the studio, and I was just singing something else first, and I went back in. I was like, nah, they got that song. I think it was Tootsie Roll, and I was like, they already made the Tootsie Roll.
Right.
And I switched it to Laffy Taffy.
Right.
I think I had some candy in my pocket, so I may have looked at the Laffy Taffy and switched it to Laffy
Taffy. And it all just came out.
Yep. I actually recorded that verse right there.
I'm looking for Mrs. Bubblegum. I'm Mr. Chico Stick.
But I had never recorded anything like that. So before everybody came to the studio, because mind you, we didn't make girl songs. Like, that was the first, only girl song on the computer, the only one towards a girl. Right. Like, because this is a hard click. Everybody wear black all the time. Like, they, everybody in the hood know these guys for being they self, you know what I mean? So I ain't want nobody to hear it. So when Mook B comes in the studio the next morning, he like, don't erase it. Don't erase it. And I was like, man, I'm finna erase this. I ain't letting nobody hear it. And Mook B was doing it, begging me not to erase the verse. He's like, man, don't erase it, man. Put another verse on it. Or whatever. So I had the song for like a month with the verse on it. I wasn't even letting nobody hear it. So we let Low hear it. And jail, Low was like, don't put that song out. And
see, like, I'm in jail trying to be hard. We're not
really trying to be hard. It was just like our image on the street, you know. Well, when the industry got a chance to know us, you knew we weren't. Because everybody like, those candy guys, these candy this, and oh, they lame, they this. But when the industry got a chance to know us, I think everything changed instantly when you got in our face. It was like, oh, wait. Every question I have for these guys, it just went out the window.
Right, but how quickly did the candy girl part come in?
That same day. Like, I was doing that. And mind you, I didn't even know.
Because I'm old enough to, like, I had that tape.
New Edition was. I didn't know that song. I knew Can You Stand the Rain and stuff from, you know, my era. But that was, like, in the 80s.
Right, that's my era.
I never knew the song. I never had listened to it. I did that on my own. Probably from when I was younger, hearing it,
right,
you know, from my conscious mind. But I never, you know, referenced that song.
Right.
It just came out. Candy girl. And it sounded exactly like New Edition. And so they came out the blue and they hit me for like 33 and a third. Just like, boom. And the judge agreed with them. I was like, man, I was too young to even know anything about that. We just great minds think alike.
I mean, it's not like I know the ins and outs of licensing, but I feel like to get a third,
yeah,
just for...
No, they got,
it's 30, not even,
they
it's
got
not,
33 and a third.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well,
that was from all the original music that we put, but we took it off. If you go back and listen to some of the later Laffy Taffys, it's not on there. Like, we took it off because that was just too much.
So you can like if you, like, so if it's like the...
He still got every platinum plaque I got, the New Edition got.
But like, so if it's on Spotify now, what version am I going to hear?
You can get both versions. Like, it's still out there. Like, it's still out there, but the later versions don't have it in there.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, I want to talk to you a lot about things besides Laffy Taffy, but I do have to ask you about Atlanta, the episode.
Yeah.
So when did that call come, and were you already a fan of the show?
Oh, I love Atlanta. I love Childish Gambino. That dude is incredible. And I seen it like everybody else or whatever. You know, people license the Laffy Taffy all the time, you know.
So you didn't know before the show came out?
I get calls about Laffy Taffy so much for different...
Isn't your management supposed to ask you?
No.
Hey, is it okay if I sell this?
All my masters.
Yeah. So they just call you? They call
me. Yeah.
So a producer from Atlanta, the TV show, calls you.
Yeah, somebody, well, they called one of my representatives or whatever and licensed it out. So, yeah, and I thought it was dope when I seen it. I was,
no, but I get that you get calls all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also, you have a say in that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there was no, like, here's the script, here's it's going to be with a bunch of white dudes' penises?
Nah, that tripped me out when I seen it or whatever. But, I mean, you know, comedy is comedy.
No, dude, I was dying. We all were. Yeah, but
when I first seen it, I was dying laughing or whatever. I don't know if I would have approved it if I known the script or whatever. But once I seen it or whatever, I thought it was quirky. I thought it was crazy or whatever, you know. And, you know, genius, really.
No, but that, because that's kind of what he does. It's like, it's hilarious, but it's also, like, fucking sad because those dudes are.
Yeah. It was a crazy scene.
Right.
When they broke out into it or whatever, somebody sent it to me, and I was just like, whoa, you know, at first or whatever. Then when I seen the whole thing go, I was like, oh, I see how they brought it in and all that. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, but
You just make it seem like if you just, like, you said it's being, you're getting calls all the time. You're just like, okay, cash the check. Like, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like that, but I mean, I it just breezed through. It went by my desk, you know, just like everything else. It went by my desk like everything else. But when I seen it, I thought it was dope. You know, it's just that the United States is built on different genres right now, you know, and you got all these different groups or whatever that need attention, you know, are grasping for attention. And so I guess, you know, a lot of these people who make these TV shows and these movies, they cater, you know, to the person who they're looking for. And they want everybody to be included into the situation. So I guess that's how that worked out.
So when, over the course of time, this sort of genre is talked about, are you down for it, for better or worse, like the whole Snap thing?
It's crazy you say that, right? Because I was basically off the scene from 2008 to probably around 2018, like, far as putting music out, being everywhere, you know. I was doing little music. I put like 2 mixtapes out in that time, but nothing really serious, just like, you know, living my life, raising my kids and stuff like that. Because, you know, once you make a song that big, it's, you know, it's hard to kind of get that, you know, that go back at that. You like the one hit person until, you know, you can find your way. But I eventually made a few more songs or whatever, like, you know, Tatted Up and all that. I got on the Cupid Shuffle. I think I jumped on a couple of more major hits. But that was just my luck or whatever. But, you know, you always grasping for it. But from 2008 to about 2018, I was kind of off the scene. And so when I started coming back, like in 2016, I started doing interviews. And I'm noticing nobody owning the Snap music. Nobody owning the movement. Nobody's owning it. It's like forgotten about. And so I just started being myself because I knew I was the face of this movement. I sold more records than anybody in the movement. So I just started owning it. So I started back doing the leg thing. I started back doing the Snap dance. And here it is 5 years later now, you know, everybody's talking about Snap again. You got all the other groups coming back talking about, oh, I made this dance up. Well, where were you for 10 years when nobody was talking about it? So, you know, until I did Wildin' Out, until I did the 85 South Show, until I came out and people started saying, well, who made up the dance? Because for 10 years, we've been hearing these other guys say that they made it up, you know, at certain times. And I was like, well, I'm not saying I made it up. You're just watching me do it, and you like the way I do it. You feel what I'm saying? So why am I the only one still doing it? And why am I so incredible with these new moves?
Right.
So if somebody else made it up, how come they didn't make up another dance? And I got, like, all of these different dances that everybody know now. So it's just about owning it. I came back and I owned it. So when they talk about Snap, I hope they talk about me for a long time. And we didn't call it Snap where we from, you know. So my real movement is known. It's called a geek movement.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So if you listen to every song that's came out since I came out, whatever, the word geek, the way I meant for it, intended for it to be used, the way I meant for it to be interpreted, is used the exact way I wanted it to be in almost 78% of the rap songs made now. So it's a geek movement. It's not a Snap movement. It's a geek movement. So if I can be remembered for the geek movement, which, if you listen to Future, you listen to Drake, you listen to Lil Baby, you listen to DaBaby, you listen to anybody, at least 60 times on each one of their albums, they say my word the way I intended. And when I said it first, they cut my shows. They kicked me off the shows knowing I was going to be on the shows. He can't say that. He can't say he geeked up because it was affiliated with drugs. you know, well, now the industry's changed or whatever, and I got the last laugh.
I mean, I listen to some. If you listen to the radio,
yeah.
And there's certain stations or songs that they bleep literally every sex and drug reference. There's no song anymore. Yeah. It's like, guys, I understand that you're worried about kids or whatever, but
bleep it no more. Like, it's just like they say perkies and everything on the radio now. Like, it's, you can say bitch and ass on the radio now, so it's different.
But the people that are claiming it now,
yeah.
I mean, some of these are your peers and people that you hang with.
I was known more for the Laffy Taffy until I came back. I created that craze because I had a song in the street called Starting to See Spaceships on Bankhead that had blown up while I was gone. I didn't blow this song up. I just, when me and the group started having, you know, intentions on going solo, which everyone else wanted to do something different. Well, we was already solo artists or whatever. We just did a project together. So when we all started doing stuff together, Shot a Low Blew Up or whatever, I went out and started promoting my solo song that was on the album, and that was the Scotty or whatever. And I didn't know at the time how big I was going back into the clubs, back out here performing it and giving it to the DJs personally myself. And it's like, Fabo gave me his new song. Wow. And so that, never doing a video to it, Jeezy jumps on it because it's blowing up in the hood. And it turned into a classic, like without me ever doing a video, without me ever doing. And because it was so popular in homes and on the street, kids growing up listening to it, whatever the situation was, now, you know, 15 years later, that's a part of my resume, like, you know, that drug resume, whereas nobody ever knew, you know, because it was just some lost song on the album, number 7 on the album. So nobody ever knew about that side of me until I left for 10 years. So I'm gone, and my song's just in the clubs playing. Every time you go in the club, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock, I'm starting to see spaceships on bang. It's got to play. And I'm like, you know, I got to live up to it now, you know. But, hey, man, it was just one night, one experience, and I wrote about it.
What is the fascination, though? We got spaceships. We got jetpacks.
Nah, man, I seen the spaceship for real. Like, I was on Bankhead, and I seen the spaceship. I was, like, the same way I've been telling everybody for all of these years that they was real, the same way I've been telling everybody, like, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not somebody who would just say something like that, you know. And I had a witness. Like, I know for a fact what we saw. And we had situations where I don't want to seem like this kooky person talking about it or whatever, but now, you know, they doing Congress hearings on it and telling you they can't explain these videos, and they built the Space Force. I was right. You know, whether you want to believe me or not, the United States got 3 branches of military: the Navy, the Army, and, you know, the Marines. That's it. They, whatever the situation is, with Air Force. So they built a whole nother branch of the military to cater to space or whatever. They not gonna do it. They ain't gonna buy a homeless person a sandwich unless it's a dire cry out for the community. You see what I'm saying? So they seen something up there or whatever that I had already seen, or they just can't hide it anymore because they keep showing up everywhere. Regardless of what it was, I was right. And so for all the people who called me crazy 15 years ago when I said I seen a spaceship, you know what I mean, and I wrote a whole song about it and all of that, you know, aha, you know.
So not a euphemism.
I'm way ahead of y'all, too.
Not a euphemism. You literally saw a spaceship on Vega.
I saw a spaceship. Just like 17 senators testified in the hearings and said they seen it. Just like all
right, we will have to have the alien spaceship debate at another time.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I was listening to Jetpack yesterday, and so I was thinking, like, did you watch a lot of Star Trek?
Man,
did you have a lot of stuff?
Star Trek, Star Wars, man. Every episode of Star Wars, I've seen every Star Trek TV episode down to, you know, the old ones and the new ones, Discovery. You know, I'm watching. I never miss.
Really?
Everything. It's Captain Janeway, Captain Kirk, Captain Picard. Like, we can go.
Where do you rank them?
Where do I rank them? I would put Janeway up top. Who's this last one that looked like Gabrielle Union?
You're not gonna put Kirk on top
I'm not gonna put Kirk on top because Kirk just—he was reckless. Like he was like one of those people. I'm going to do it. And he never really used the crew like he was supposed to. Janeway, she was more, you know, laid back. She sent Data and the rest of them to go handle the business or whatever. So I would put Janeway at the top.
But that
I would actually have Janeway and what's the girl, the black girl with the braids? She's on Discovery. I don't know if you watched her.
I haven't watched the
latest one. They went into the future. Where they went like light years away from, you know, into the future. Like they was gone. Like
but that was the whole point of Kirk. And so then he had his Spock who said that's not logical. Try to bring him back a little bit.
Yeah, but
right?
See, Spock, that was. See, you got to watch Discovery because in Discovery, Spock helped as a younger man help launch them into the future where at that time he thought he was just saving the world and they was going to go, you know, a couple of light years away, but they ended up 900 years into the future. So they had to look back and look at all the history. Nobody ever talked about them or said anything about their flight or anything. Everybody forgot about the Discovery. You see what I'm saying? So this is a whole different, you know, so if you watch that one, then this whole Spock story will make sense to you then. Because
So where is the Enterprise story in relation to the Discovery story and the Picard story? Like in the time
900 years in the future, Spock was basically considered an outlaw. He had did some stuff that he wasn't supposed to do. And so she had to clear his name in 900 years in the future. Like, because, you know, she had to tell them that Spock helped them. And, you know, they said Spock switched out and went and got the, was it Kardashian? What were these?
Did you just say the Kardashians?
The name sound like that. The name sound like that from the group that they was pissed off. I can't think of everyone of them now, the Kleenans and somebody else. It was another one or whatever, but it sounds like that or whatever. But that's who.
I like the idea of them battling the Kardashians.
That'd be dope. But I think whatever group that they was going up against, that name sounds, you know, kind of familiar.
People who are listening to this, they're yelling it into the car when they're on their run.
I'll think of it in a minute.
No, it'll hit you. So what about Star Wars? Which one of those is your favorite?
I mean, Star Wars. Luke, I am your father. I think that's, you know, that's the most powerful moment to me, because the whole time you wishing Anakin would come to his senses. Like he was, it's like, oh, he's not gonna be really bad. And then he'll just do something that's, you know, the point of no return. And he's like, no, you can't do that. No, you, so you're still rooting for him the whole time.
I know, but when
he went all the way bad.
When you make that character for us was like the most evil thing.
Yeah.
Even before all the latest, the last 5 years of the new movies and all the stuff on Disney.
He was ratchet.
People still think, like, what's evil? Darth Vader.
Yeah, Darth Vader, but they don't know that he was the new Darth Vader. You know, he was something, he was Darth Vader. You know, so that's it's some different shit.
So what were you doing? You just said you were just raising your kids. How old are your kids now?
Oh man, I have some older kids. You know, they ready. They ready for life already. I just had another one graduate. You know, and I'm working on two more, and I got one that just entered school the other day. So that's
I don't know how, dude, I don't know how y'all do it too, like new face over there. I don't know how y'all do it, man.
16, 19 years apart.
My kids are 15, 12, and 8, and there's no way I'm going again. God forbid something happened.
I got one for to turn 15 in a couple of weeks, and he's 6'5", with a size 15 shoe or whatever, and he's like a giant walking around the house.
Is he a baller?
Yeah, he's a baller. He did just day before yesterday in a scrimmage game, 20 tackles, 2 fumble returns, and a pick 6. Like,
nice.
This dude is crazy out there.
Where does he want to go?
Oh, he we ain't even going to have that conversation. Not where I want him to go. He wants to get the hell on. You know, as far away from here as he can.
And you want to keep him here?
Basically, you know, I'm a Georgia boy. The Bulldogs, Georgia Tech, you know, Falcons, Hawks, Braves, Atlanta United. It's just, that's just what it is with me. If anybody else, just F them. I don't care. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care how good they are. I'm watching the Big Ten, Big 12. I don't care. Pac-12, whatever it is, I don't care about any of those places. Just the ACC and me.
So what were you doing? Like what? Like
I mean, living, man. I mean, it wasn't like that. I mean, you see me on a lot of different projects. When I say not active, I mean not being in the forefront, not being, you know, one of the guys they checking for every day. But I mean, I'm around. Like I'm having different projects, opening stores. You know, I'm helping other people with their projects. I'm writing songs. I'm doing a lot of different things at that time, or whatever. But it's like double dutch. You know, you don't want to be wasting money, or whatever, trying to figure it out. And people don't move. moved on or whatever, I moved past you in a sense or whatever. I never looked at it like I dropped the ball or anything like that, but time just passed by when you're having fun. I was in Japan. I was over here. I was over. You got to think, I'm just a kid from the hood. I hadn't been out of the hood in 20-something years. Like, you know, it's just every day is this little front yard right here. The neighbors, cats, and all the stray dogs walking around, the crate on the pole in front of the door, and, you know, all these cars and people running to them selling drugs. Like, I mean, that was my whole life before rap. And so, you know, when you somebody gave me a break one day and I took too long of a break, you know, trying to figure it out, you know. But, yeah, I was doing a whole bunch of different stuff.
I mean,
that
you,
time.
See,
you can go back and look at a lot of projects I had, the We Amongst You, the Geek Tales. Like, I'm dropping projects, but I didn't look at it as something that can contend with Laffy Taffy.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is that you seem super positive about the whole experience.
Yeah.
Have there been parts of you that are like, oh, man, I'm never going to top that?
Oh, no, man. I think we all... You know, you're going to hit those depression years. Yeah, you're going to hit those years where you like, oh, man, I got to make another Laffy Taffy. I got to do this. I got to do that. Yeah, 2007, 2008, I think I was going through that phase of I got to make another Laffy Taffy. And, you know, you're getting songs like Poking Beans. I had did this song called Poking Beans. I had this other song called She Get Loose. She Get Loose. You know, I was out there, you know, doing that thing or whatever. But like I said, when I say I was gone for 10 years, I didn't look at the music that I was making as comparable to the music that I had made before. So, yeah, I was around for 10 years, but, I mean, just off the scene, like, you know, not on a national level or whatever. You knew about me, but you had to go check for me or whatever.
Right. Well, what people like about you, what people are drawn to you is because you're this genuine article, yeah. Right? You're not afraid to be fucking goofy. So
I went and showed that to the world.
Though. Right.
So that's what I did. Like, in those 10 years, I went to Japan, like, maybe 7 times. I was in Iraq. I was in Germany. I was in Italy. I had never seen the world. I'm on my like my third passport now. So you got to think about it. Like I said, from somebody from where I came from or whatever, it's like a drug when you get on an international flight and stay on there for 14 hours. Like, you know, now the songs that I was rapping about, the things I'm not doing anymore, I got a new drug now. This is my new drug. Like, this is my new high. This is giving me a new thrill. And you got your mama saying, come home. You know, I got my mama, send me $12,000. I'm in Germany. I need $12,000. Go do this. Go do this. And it was like, I'm like somebody on some type of meth or something. Like, this is Germany to me. I'm in Frankfurt. I'm in Stuttgart. I'm in different places. And they like my music too.
Right.
And it's like, let me make songs with these German artists. Let me,
right.
You know, and then 6 years go by. You know, you've been over, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, so.
Right. Yeah. But what I was saying, though, is that you just being you is what comes out of you, but
yeah.
But nobody can decide, like, a hit is just going to be a hit.
Yeah, yeah,
so it's like you
yeah.
can't force yeah, it. Like, yeah. Oh, this is what,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing you did different with Laffy Taffy than you did with anything else.
No, I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I started making bad music or putting bad music out there, you know, so I think that was my situation. I wanted every song that I ever made you to know every word too. So even the songs that I was still making, like the Cupid Shuffle verses, everybody know that verse. The Tatted Up, me screaming at the end of it, everybody know that. Like, this is all came after D4L, you know, and all these different songs that I started making. I wanted you to know every verse, every word. I didn't want it to get lost in the shuffle from everything that was going on or trying to change. The sound was changing. So I didn't want my music to get lost in the shuffle at times or whatever. So, you know, you go through all of those different phases, you know, how to put it out. But eventually I just started putting music out. Like, you see me nowadays or whatever, when I just put out a song, I do a video to it. I don't care. You know, I think that stopped in like 2013, 2014. I just stopped caring about what other people felt about my music because they didn't have any music on me at that point. So it was like, let me put out a mix CD. So I think I just started putting out mix CDs then. I think I put out like 3 mix CDs back to back when I came out of that. But I'm recording every day. So it's like I'm studio in my house. I get up in the morning just like every other artist, and I go straight to my studio. I'm either dropping tracks, I'm either working for somebody else. So during this whole time.
So when do you decide, okay, I want to see if this one is actually, I'm actually going to get it out on Spotify or whatever?
Wow. I think I did this song called I Just Gotta Dance or something. And I was working with Swamp Izzo, or whatever. And I was like, I just gotta dance. And the song really didn't even, you know, jump off like that. But I put it on the album. Nobody paid attention to the song. But this particular song, I did this song one day, and I was like, oh, I love this. And they put me in a vibe for like a month. You know what I mean? And I dropped all of these songs or whatever, and I did a whole project called, I think it was a Geek Tales project or something like that. I did that whole project. And then I came behind that with a whole theme with these aliens, with the Wheel Monk shoe. So all of my things is things. Like, I'm from 5078. I came here in 1978 or whatever, crash landed or whatever, you know what I mean? And blah, da, 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 da. And so I came up with this whole other world, you know, whereas the humans and the aliens, they ended up, you know, mating with each other. And I'm the new species, you know, from 5078. So I came back. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and that I did all these visuals of these aliens, and on the front of the cover you can see their front, and on the back you gotta go look it up, it's Wheel Monk Shoe, and on the back you can see their backs, you know what I mean? And it was like this whole different being.
Right. Well, you know, when I was growing up in the old days, yeah. Right, there's the middleman. You gotta make something, some company's gotta get behind you and yeah. produce you and market you. Like yeah. you can do all that yourself
the
now.
The moment that stopped, I started back releasing music. The moment that stopped, the middleman stopped, I started back releasing music. That was part of my problem, the middleman, you know.
So that's what I'm saying. How do you decide what you're going to, quote, unquote, push, let's just say, versus just like...
Back in the day, when I was coming up, an artist had to make a whole project. Like, you had to make a whole project. You had to have that mama song. You had to have that jail song. You had to have all of these different songs on your album or whatever. And so everybody worked towards the whole album. And I think that was still going on when I went solo. Or whatever, you know, when I went solo, it was like these people expecting the project, they expecting this. And you have these people that want stuff a certain way. Me, myself, you know, at the time, I felt like when I made my hit, you weren't even around. I was just in the studio with this girl, and we was having fun. And all of this is taking the fun out of it. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of the situation with me. And so the moment, you know, I was able to put out my own music, how I want to put it out, all my deals been recouped. Everybody made their money. Nobody can say anything to me anymore, whatever. I started back releasing music. That's how I felt about it and so, still feel about it.
So you wake up.
Wake up one day, I read some news that you can go to Toon Lab or DistroKid or this, that, and the other. And whatever that day was, my life changed again. I was happy as hell, and I started releasing music. That day, I think I put something out, put a mix CD out the next week through DistroKid or Toon, whatever it was, TuneCore or whatever it was.
Right.
Just instantly.
How booked is your calendar? Like, how far ahead do you...
I'm an entertainer, man. I already have shows in December. I got cruises in November. I booked up for January almost. I got the 3 dates in January yet. So I stay on the road.
So
I just came off of like 9 city tour.
Right. And we were going to see you on Sunday.
Yeah. At the 4-4 Music Fest.
Right.
Yeah. But I think they canceled that because of all the new stuff going on.
Right. But I don't understand because the Piedmont thing closed because it's a public park.
Yeah.
But that's a private spot, though.
I just think that right now with the monkeypox and the COVID, you're going to get all these different excuses. But I don't think you want to have an event and 70,000 people break out with monkeypox or COVID and you don't want to be responsible for that.
70,000
right
people aren't going to fit in that yeah. place.
But I'm just saying, you know, a lot of these people, you know, some people don't care, some people throw, but I think a lot of people starting to think about, you know, packing people in one place and being responsible for that.
No, I get it. I was just disappointed because, like I said,
yeah.
people are saying it's because of the gun stuff.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that too, you know, with people being able to carry. But, I mean, it's like that every day. Well, I would say the new thing need to be gun lockers.
So you check in just like you check
yeah,
in a phone.
You can bring your gun, but you're still going to have to check it in the front somewhere. Like, you have to have
it. Well, then why do I want to bring my gun if I can't use it?
I mean, you can get to it if you need it, I guess, but you can't have it walking around. They just said I had to let you come in the event with it.
They
didn't say you can keep it in the event.
Is that a thing people are talking about? Because that's smart.
I'm just saying that would be my... You know, that would be my... If I'm the one throwing the event, then we finna take these guns up right here in the front, and we want everybody who coming in to know that we're doing this, you know, so they'll feel safe. You feel what I'm saying?
I wonder that seems like a easy solve to the problem.
Yeah, because some 60-year-old lady who came to see the Gap Band or somebody, they, you know, they don't want to be standing beside somebody with a big old Glock 40 on them or something like that. And I'm definitely not going to any country western shows. All these cowboys in here.
Boy, stop. You ain't doing that.
You never played a show up in Woodstock or Canton, anywhere up there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to stay up there. I stayed in Woodstock for maybe 4 years. Woo! Those were some ooh, pressure.
30144.
Pressure.
Right?
Pressure.
Why were you up there?
I forgot that street I stayed off of. That was one of my first houses that I bought. I wanted to keep telling you, when you're from where I'm from, you want to get as far away as you can. Well, in my day, we did. Nowadays, it's different. And people be like, yo, I got all my money at my mama's house, and we still in the hood. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So, speaking of which, you said to me, are you okay rolling up in the hood?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
there was something going on, so I couldn't have you come over there.
No, no,
it was,
it's
something crazy going on. No, so no, well, have you sitting out there.
Well, like I said, so I live not too far from here.
Yeah.
Right. So when you say the hood, I'm like, well, I live off Campbellton Road. It can't be that bad. But when a black dude says, "Are you safe rolling up to the hood?" I'm like, well, shit, maybe I should feel scared.
Yeah, I'm right behind. I'm on Bankhead.
No, I know. Yeah. But during the day, I wasn't worried until you said, "Are you okay coming to this place?"
Yeah. During the day. Yeah. Yeah. When you asked me that, I was like, maybe I need to change the location. You know, I wanted you to be comfortable.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Bankhead is yeah, legendary.
A lot of my family still stay down there or whatever. And, you know, we're down there. We out there. We still out there. You know, half of my family is still, you know, in the hood, still displaced in these situations or whatever. So I spend, you know, 30-40% of my time still there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So as busy as you are, that's kind of what I was getting at, is how do you decide what to say no to? Because you seem like, hey, man, you seem down for pretty much everything.
Man, I say no to a lot of stuff. Like, I ignored the I can't tell.
What, DMs?
Nah, I can tell you a story. Lil Nas X is from my hood. I can tell you something that I missed or whatever. And I know his dad or whatever. And we grew up together and all of that. But he grew up around, you know, he's a little older than me, but I can remember him, you know, he being one of the OGs around the hood. And I knew his mom too. And his dad, I guess when he started doing music, his dad, you know, I was one that made it from the hood or whatever. He was like, yo, let me send the music to Fabo and let him hear it.
Trying to get the same
and
stuff.
So his dad sing and stuff. And, you know, we used to have these little sing-offs and stuff. And so I guess he sent me the song. And so he always used to be sending me music and stuff, but I never really looked at the email or whatever. And he was like, man, go back and check. I sent it to you. And I went back and looked at the email, and there it is, Old Town Road, 2 years ago, before it came out. He sent it to me.
Just as his little...
It was that same verse. It was the same way. And he was like, can you put a verse on this? It was like a minute and something long. And I was like, it's too short, you know, whatever the situation was. It was like 2 years before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, clearly it was not meant to be.
It's not meant to be.
All right. Well, listen, I like to always ask my Atlanta favorites. I'm going to use this time to change batteries.
Do your thing.
And my son calls, and he never calls. So I don't know what's going on. My 8-year-old, sorry, my 13-year-old.
Don't give your 5-year-old your number.
No, my kids fucking block me. Dad, you're blocked.
Oh, nah, they ain't going to block me.
No, right.
They, my phone just ring for Cash Apps. Like, I get Cash App requests, like, all day long. So they can't block me.
All right, let me change my battery real quick. So, you know, like,
what? Yeah, get it right. Yeah.
All right, this is the Atlanta Favorites Quiz.
Oh!
There are no wrong answers.
That seems like a trick question.
What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Wow. Patty milk. That's my go-to order. Patty milk.
Patty milk plate?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's patty milk. I come in and get the patty milk. I get the T-bone.
Okay. What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Oh, wow. I don't know, man. The Red Lobster on Camp Creek, that's like my hideout. I'm saying, man, they make the best wings. You think of a lot of different places or whatever, you know. But I mean, Hun's on Bankhead, you know, that's where I get the most wings from. I would come all the way from up 400 from Carrollton, Georgia, to get those wings off of Bankhead. Like that lemon pepper, extra sprinkles, you know, just wet.
All right, Publix or Kroger?
Maybe Magic City, too. I can't leave that out, too. They got some bomb wings.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Kroger? Publix or Kroger?
Yeah.
Both. Well, Publix for their chicken or whatever, and Kroger for the sub sandwiches. So, both. I would have to say because I do both. Like, I would come from somewhere, like I just said, we could be on the road, and I want to stop and check out y'all Publix and see if they make the best, you know, same chicken.
Right.
You know, the legs and the thighs and all of that stuff. So, yeah, yeah.
So, wait a minute. You get the sub sandwiches from Kroger?
Yeah.
Because what we used to do.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just go there and get the samples. Pray for Jesus.
We used to do.
Me standing there. She was like, sorry, do you want this sandwich? I'm like, nah, I'm good. Y'all just got me full. I'm full now.
We used to, when I worked as a young man,
yeah,
I would go to Publix and buy the sandwich and a half gallon of sweet tea.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Or
yeah,
when I was a little bit younger, if I was real broke, we yeah would buy the sandwich, go to the bathroom and eat it and then leave.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, Publix.
I definitely did all of those, all of the above, you know. And I think with me, where we didn't have the Publix or the Kroger. I had Ma and Pa store.
Right.
Or whatever. And you would go, your mama would give you the $13 book of food stamps or the, you know, whatever book it is or whatever, you know, $65. I forgot which one. You know, it'd be something left in one of those books. And she'd tell you, go to the store and get y'all something to eat.
Right.
And so my whole thing was walk in the store, you're going to get 2 packs of hot dogs, 2 packs of bologna, a couple of loaves of bread, 2 big drinks, two bags of chips. That's the whole week.
Right.
That's a whole week, maybe $10, $12. Like, the whole week. Like, you good. Like, mom at work, you make a sandwich.
Right.
You going to school in the morning, fry you some hot dogs, maybe some eggs, you know, add to that mix. But, yeah, that's I kind of still might do that right to this day if I, you know, if I still was eating pork and stuff, you know. I don't eat anything processed, no pork or anything like that. So, I don't do the hot dogs and stuff no more. But, yeah, turkey dogs, something like that.
So, did you go vegan or just not processed?
More Mediterranean diet, stuff like that, nuts, fish.
I did not know that about you. I'm actually going to switch to this chair real quick, and then I think we can get more of me in the light for the next couple of questions. Oh, hang on. You know, nowadays they got rid of the books. It's all just the nice little plastic cards. Not everybody has to know that you're on the dole.
Nah, man. I eat up something, but I just. I lean back. I eat up something, man. I'm a picky eater now. Back in the day, I used to be bad, man. Just crazy out there. You know, all kind of crazy stuff in my body. I didn't care. You know, you can catch me at 6 o'clock in the morning walking up and down Bankhead. You'd be like, where your car at down there? You know, I just didn't care. But, you know, when you grow up or whatever, I think around 2008, 2009, I had an epiphany or something and, you know, let everything go in my life. I went and got therapy and did all of the regular stuff that, you know, normal people do and started living a normal life or whatever, and the diet came with it.
Right.
Yeah.
What about meds? You do any meds?
Don't everybody? They're legal. Nothing illegal. It's been a long time. But yeah, you know, I went one time and I got 5 teeth pulled at the same time. And they gave me something that day. And that was a great experience.
I meant mental health.
That is mental health meds. If you can help me with my pain that I got in my back and my ankles, and yeah, that helped my mental health a whole lot. Yeah.
All right, rank these in importance to you.
Yeah.
Falcons, Hawks, United, Braves.
Wow. I can't put one team over the other. I got the same passion for all of them. But shout out to Atlanta United, though, with the championship, and shout out to the Braves for the World Series. But I can't put one team over the other. Yeah, I'm the mayor, you know, of all these teams. So
really?
I'm definitely rooting for all of them the same. I can't put one over the other. Now, I put all of them over all 32 teams here, I put them over everybody. Every year, I'm going to lose every dime on every game until they win.
All right. What's the best show you ever saw in Atlanta?
The best show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Birthday Bash. Lil Jon, T.I., Killer Mike, all of them. That was like the best year. That's the best year. That was the best. That was when music was what it was. I snuck in, you know, my song was like one of the number one songs on the street, but we hadn't made Laffy Taffy yet. And so we had to sneak in to that show because we couldn't get in.
How did you sneak in?
I can't tell you that because people still using that tactic right now. Including me and New Face. We can't get in every show, but we get there.
Excuse me. Hang on.
And we also use that tactic to get everybody else in, too.
All right, so there's a question that got debuted on his episode, which is, which character do you like the most on Atlanta? Who do you appreciate the most on that program?
I'll pass.
You can't pass?
Yeah, I got to pass on that one. I'm not an avid Atlanta watcher.
I just
like the show and
enjoy
it when I come across it, but I'm not...
I thought maybe there was something personal like you didn't want to say.
Oh, no, no. I just, I'm more of a Westworld fan.
Yeah.
I like fantasy and stuff like that. I really don't get into those type of shows. If you would have asked me about The Magicians or The Originals or Legacies or, I don't know, V-Wars or The 100 or, you know, 4400 or, you know, I like something like that. I like things that
I feel so my wife and I watched 4400 when it came out. I feel like every show has ripped that show off.
That's crazy.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that the 100 definitely ripped it off. It was different.
Heroes ripped it off.
Yeah,
they all did.
Heroes ripped it off, but it all came from Lost. Like it was like all of them are like spin-offs of Lost, but everybody don't die. You know that type of stuff. Especially the 100. Oh, and the 100. You never seen the 100?
No, I watched the 4400 though.
Like the 100 is like this girl trying to save everybody out the whole all the seasons, and she just killed more people than she saved. And at the end, they kind of come, and I guess they go up in there as these apparitions or something. They turn into this light, and the people was like, "Yo, you just can't come." And she's the one that got everybody to this point. And spoiler alert, you know, and she's the one that got everybody to this point. And it just tripped me out that, you know, everybody going up to these lights, and it's like you killed somebody at the meeting. Where we said that everybody was going to be lights. You know, you're going to be these entities, and you just can't come. And so, you know, it was crazy. So I think that was like, it was like Lost. Everybody died at the end, but, you know, you kind of go up into this, you know, a better place or something.
I feel like that should
but they wouldn't let her in.
That should maybe be the future for you, though. You should be on one of these.
Let me in.
I'm saying you should be one of these shows, though.
These bottles are built to last. You know, Deep Up Moscato, La Troubadour, you know.
Who would you like to play in one of those shows?
Myself. I always want to be the bad guy because, you know, before I, you know, knew how to conversate and, you know, have fun in public, you know, like a normal person, I used to be like, I was the person that you definitely didn't want to be in the room with alone after everybody left, you know, because I probably did something crazy. Or whatever, because when you hungry, you'll be surprised. That's mine. Put it in my pocket. That's mine. Put it in my pocket. Let me see, it had a word for me. My mama used to call me something different. My grandmama named me something different. She didn't call me a thief. She said, you roguish. I didn't know what it meant at the time, you know, but she called me that all the time. So, yeah, I had to have some lifestyle changes. So, yeah, bad guy. But always the bad guy. The guy. That the one that's holding the gun, the one that's pulling up doing the drive-by, the big-time dude that y'all come to see for the work, like whatever the situation is, big boss man in the limo that pull up, I want to be a bad guy.
So what made you, like you said you did some therapy, but like clearly I would never guess that you're a bad dude.
Oh, yeah, not really bad, but a product of my environment, you know. I came from that environment where your options were limited and, you know, pick up the bootstrap just really didn't even apply to you because it was no bootstraps to pick up, you know, no shoes to tie up, you know, none of that to even get up the street. So I think when you come from that part of it, like the real bottom, like I come from the bottom, like, you know, ketchup sandwiches, you know, I was in prison for 2 years and nobody could afford a phone. Like, so I call home, I got to call somebody else's house for 2 years. Like, and then people working three jobs and still can't get a phone, that type of stuff. Like, you know, so it was bad. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody on drugs.
So what made the switch for you? What made you?
Just walking away, getting up the street, down the street, up the hill.
Some people never do, though. Most people wind up going back.
Yeah, I went back with a purpose, you know, and that's to enlighten other people, you know, get them to do something different or whatever. I give them a better opportunity myself, you know, through me. So I was one of those people who went back. But yeah, I mean, once you get out, like, you feel what I'm saying? The next person can fill that space that you feel to get out. You see what I'm saying? If you keep occupying that space, then the next person can't get out. That means that if you're standing there with all your money, all your jewelry on, then this person might not want to leave. They want to stand right here with all their money and jewelry on. And so, you know, that's a different situation in itself right there. But me, I was able to get out. And once I got out, and you start talking to different people, you start meeting different people, you start, you know, learning different languages and stuff like that or whatever, you realize that the world is a big place and you're living in just such a small world.
All right. And the last question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Oh, wow. New face.
I already had New Face.
Oh, for real?
And he named you.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Pastor Troy. Pastor Troy is one of my good friends. He got a crazy story, too. Real intelligent dude or whatever. And he do a lot for the community. So, yeah, Pastor Troy might be a good person to have on.
All right, let's make that happen.
Yeah. It won't be hard.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this.
Oh!
Where can people follow you?
Oh, man. All things Fabo at GIKCITY.com, GeekCity.com. I spell geek, GIKY, you know, to give it my own little distinctive.
Right.
But I'm most frequented on Instagram. I am Fabo.
And if you're
I am Fabo.
Yeah, you gotta follow, by the way, because you are hilarious.
I definitely wake up and just be talking. I never intended on being funny. People just be laughing.
I mean, I just, this some of the stuff I've been watching lately, like, yeah. I was just fucking howling, dude.
It gets better. You should see the stuff that I can't put up. Because Instagram, yo, dude, they used to just, like, when I first started doing this comedy thing, my comedy is dark, like, you know, because I kind of cater to the people who I know and where I come from. And so it's a little dark. Like, these, you can't make them move with the Bill Cosby jokes. Like, they not for that. Like, but Instagram wants that. You see what I'm saying? They want you to be clean cut. We're going to put ads on your videos and stuff like that, and we can't show this. And they're right.
Well, you could create another account.
Well, I mean, I got 5 or 6 different accounts, but they block them all. Like, you can't put these videos up. Once you start getting the views and stuff like that and they start monetizing them, you can't put certain stuff up. Because right. It's going to be showing it with L'Oreal commercials and Gucci commercials, and, you know, you can't have that stuff put up. But I learned my lesson the hard way, though, because they will cut you off, and it ain't nobody you could call, talk to. You know, you can't. Let me show you my Instagram messages to Instagram. If I show you that, you'll see what I'm talking about.
No, show me.
They never respond. Like, they just never respond. It's like, yo, why did you do this to me? Well, in the beginning, I was like, you know, and they just never respond. They never respond.
Why did you do this to me?
Yeah, why did you do this to me? Why did you cut me off? Why is my message just turned off? Why can't I go live? Why can't I blah, da, 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 da. And so they started, you know, giving you these little notifications after that. So maybe I help people get notifications because I bugged them to death. So now they'll send you a notification like, yo, you're cut off for 14 days or you're cut off for, you know, till next month on this time. They'll kind of give you a, because they didn't do that at first. They didn't tell you how long.
Right.
You know, they'll just cut it off.
Right.
So now they'll tell you, oh, you lose all of your monetization privileges for a month. Something like that. They'll tell you now.
All right. What is there anything you have, you're dropping soon or any release in particular?
Yeah, we're doing the Seafood Project right now. Which is my new project. The Jetpack came off of that project. The Again came off of that project. We got the new wine right now, which is the Geeked Up Moscato, La Troubadour. You know, and I just came off a series of crystals commercials. You know, I was doing crystals, the restaurant. I was doing commercials for crystals, and I thought that was dope. You know, it was a crazy.
Didn't he do something for crystals?
White gravy with small tots for $4.99 for a limited time only. Country Fried Steak Crystal.
I don't know. New Face is involved in everything that goes on in Atlanta. If New Face is not involved, then it's nothing happening with it. It's just not a major event. It's not anything somebody's paying attention to.
All right, man. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much.
No problem. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That Ray J, you know, that's my homie.